Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I gave up on New Year's resolutions a long time ago. You know those resolutions, I'll lose weight, I'll be nicer? I gave up on those because it seemed like after 2 or 3 weeks they were done. Now, perhaps you have been a lot more conscientious. I don't know. Some of you might be able to take care of your New Year's resolutions. So this year, even though I did a moratorium for years, after I read Isaiah, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to make a resolution this year. And I hope you all make the same one. And that resolution is this: reflecting the light of Christ to my family, to my friends, to this community, and beyond. I want to reflect that light. And the reason I'm pushing that this year is that in every age there is darkness. And we seem to be able quite well to wrap ourselves around the darkness. But now we need to wrap ourselves in the light. In Isaiah's day, there was a lot of darkness. The time of Isaiah that is written here was a time when the exiles, these were the intellectuals, the elite of Israel, had been in exile for many years, and their exile was over and they were coming back home. Now, home was not how they left it. Home was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was in ruin. And the people who had stayed there were the poorest of the poor. They were the ones who eked out their existence on the land. Now, can you imagine these exiles, some of whom had done very well for themselves, coming back to town, and the locals, how they would greet them? It was not pretty. They were resentful that these folks were coming now and wanted to establish a community, wanted to rebuild, and there was a lot of infighting with this group. I don't think that's ever happened in other communities, has it? So they weren't really having problems with enemies at this point. They were having problems with themselves. And the task was overwhelming. It was daunting. How do we reestablish the city? Not just any city, but the city of God. And in that gloom, Isaiah says to them, "Get up. And look, the light has already come." Every time we read this, I have a feeling that we're thinking of future. But God is a God of light. And the same God that led Israel is the same God that we serve today. And that God keeps saying, "Arise, get up, and reflect the light that you see. Be a reflection of that light." It was the same God who provided the star. And you realize when the wise men saw the star, it had to be at night when it was very dark and the star shone brightly. See, the lie of every age is that darkness wins. And I don't believe that. I believe that the light can penetrate any darkness. I'm going to tell you a story about a man who died a few years ago. And this man was a country preacher. And when I say country, I mean really rural. He came from a family of preachers, so that was kind of his destiny. He went to a Bible college. He was very conservative. And he served in a church that really didn't do much about social issues. This was in the 1950s. And church was for getting spiritually fed, not really going out, unless you were preaching or evangelistic, you didn't go out and help other people. He had never stepped foot in New York City and had no desire to. He lived in Pennsylvania. Well, one day, as he was praying, he decided that he wanted to devote more time in prayer and more time for God. And the way he felt he could do that was to sell his TV set. That was the only distraction, so he sold it. And as he prayed, he looked at a magazine, And on the cover of that magazine were seven young people. A sketch artist had sketched seven young people who were on trial for murder in New York City. They were part of a street gang. The street gangs were running rampant in New York City at the time. And so he saw this picture, and then he read what they had done. They had brutally murdered a helpless young man for no reason, just went out and killed him. And here they were on trial for their own lives. And as he's reading the sickening story, he looked again at the faces and he started to cry for those seven young men, because in their eyes, all he saw was hatred and despair. So this country bumpkin decided that he was going to go to New York City, march into that courtroom, and preach to those kids. Now, I've been in courtrooms. I don't know if you've all been in a courtroom. You don't have much freedom in a courtroom. He walks in, he sits down, the trial's underway, and as they're ready to pronounce sentence, he walks to the judge. And the judge promptly kicks him out of his courtroom with these muscle men coming and lifting him up and carrying him out the door. Well, the press were there. They had a field day, and they're taking pictures of him, and they said, "Preacher, hold your Bible up." So, of course, you know, he's naive. He's holding his Bible up, and it was plastered on all the front pages. You know, this country preacher coming to preach to these kids. There was a lot of scorn and laughter. When he got back home, his congregation was not pleased with him at all. They felt like he was made a fool of, and because of that, they were made fools of. But he still had this on his heart. He had to preach to these kids. So he went back. He found, because they told him, you cannot go into jail unless you have permission from all these kids' parents. He found every one of their parents, and they all signed permission. He goes to jail with that, and the chaplain turned him away. But it was still on him. He couldn't be content being this country preacher. And so God sent him back to those areas. So he went to the neighborhoods where these kids lived. And he had his Bible. And what he found was he was famous. All the kids knew him because of those pictures in the paper. And they'd say, "Hey, preacher, you're one of us now." He had street cred, because he had gotten thrown out of court. And from that, he started a ministry. His first convert was a guy named Nicky Cruz. And his first convert threatened to kill him if he continued to speak. But he told this young man that Jesus loved him. That was his whole message. Jesus loves you. And he said, "And if you cut me to pieces, every piece that's on the ground will love you." And that stirred in that young man's heart, and he gave his life to the Lord and went on track to be an evangelist. Of course, I'm talking about David Wilkerson. Now, after that ministry, after he started his work with these young people, he got very famous. He was able to speak. He put out some books and got rich. And in the 80s, he came back to New York City. He was on some kind of preaching engagement, and he saw Times Square, which is not the lovely Times Square we see today. Times Square was filled with drug addicts and prostitutes. It was a terrible place to go. I remember walking a friend in Times Square to get to a bus station, and she was a beautiful blonde-haired girl, and my sister and I had to walk on either side of her to protect her in broad daylight. This is how bad that section was. And as he's looking around and he's seeing the squalor and the problems, the Lord spoke to him again to start a church. And he started the Times Square Church, which ministers to drug addicts and prostitutes in the heart of the city. That's what we mean by reflecting the light. His message was very simple. Jesus loves you. He didn't save everybody. Sure, there were people who told him to get away from them and did not convert, but there were some that were saved and taken off the streets. Jesus' light shines in our darkness because he loves us. and we are called to reflect that light. Let's not allow darkness to suffocate us. There is light. Even in the most tragic circumstances, there is light. It's the light of Christ who loves us so deeply, who walks with us in our sorrows, who rejoices with us when we rejoice, who takes us by the hand. That same Jesus that was preached in the 1950s is the same Jesus that is here today. We might not have the problems that the inner city has, but we certainly know people who are in darkness. Let us reflect the light. That is my New Year's resolution. I want to reflect the light of Jesus in my home. I want to reflect the light of Jesus in this church, and I want to reflect the light of Jesus in this community. May that be our prayer, to get up and to reflect the light that is already here. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the light that has come into this world. I thank you that even when we are stumbling around in darkness, when our hearts are heavy with grief, that your light is there to comfort and to heal and restore. And so, Lord, I ask that everyone here who has been walking in darkness, who has been so burdened with pain, that your grace and your light would come upon them. We ask that your presence would be here today as we celebrate your supper together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with